Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Love Foot Podcast. And we're joined today by Omaira Leone. Let me tell you a little bit about Omaira. She is 3 years into her fruit-based raw vegan journey, and Omaira has passionately studied diet and lifestyle and is pursuing certification as a Goata body movement coach. Her interest in personal development led her to develop a strong interest in human design. Having found inspiration through healing from a chronic disease, together with her partner, Grant Campbell, they aspire to empower others to live with the honesty, courage, and integrity required to work through life's inevitable challenges while enjoying a healthful and fulfilling life. So, Omaira, is there anything else you would like to say about yourself in introduction?
No, it's perfect. Thank you. Thanks for having me here.
No worries at all. So what I would like to know firstly is, did you grow up on an alternative diet or was it quite a conventional upbringing?
Yeah, first of all, I'm from Chile, and in Chile we used to have like the standard diet from Spain, tons of olive oil and fish and chicken. So I had like a standard diet for almost 27 years of my life.
And that was in Chile?
Yeah, I was in Chile. I grew up in Chile. And then I moved to Sweden when I was 17. And I went from Chilean standard diet to Swedish standard diet.
So, and were those diets different?
Yeah, in Sweden it's a lot more processed food, like food in package, like sausage or meatballs and fried foods. So I had a lot of those things. The good thing growing up with my mom in Chile is that she made everything from scratch. It was like very local food, and we had a lot of fruits because we had some fruit trees when I grew up. So yeah, so I'm in that case, I'm happy that it was in that like that.
Excellent. And did you have health issues at all growing up?
Yeah, I had a lot. I was always like sick mostly all the time when I was a child. I got a lot of antibiotics and feeling colds and flu most of the years. I had hepatitis when I was 10 years old, and I had a Crohn's disease from 22 years old until like 30 years old. Yeah, a Crohn's disease for like 10 years.
Are you willing to let us know what that chronic disease was, or is that more of a private thing?
No, I have chronic hives. You know what it is? Like you eat whatever and you get hives all over your body.
All right, okay.
So like, I have
like an autoimmune reaction.
Yeah, it started first like I will have certain kind of fruits and I will have difficulties to breathe. And then it will start running and being itchy everywhere. And then from that, it went to having hives like all over my body. At the beginning was like 2-3 hives, but then it started getting more and more serious.
And what kind of impact did that have on your life?
A lot. I mean, it made me change my diet. But also, like, I had a very destructive lifestyle before. Just when I hit, when I reached the peak of the disease, it was when I reached the peak also going into the wall, because I was working in an office doing marketing, and I was working a lot. And I was also partying a lot, like taking drugs and different things that compromised my health.
So when you said their destructive lifestyle, so you said taking drugs and working a lot, so quite stressful basically.
Yeah, it was quite stressful. and I will come home and smoke weed to numb myself, and I did that for like many years.
So, and why do you think you did that?
Well, it has to do because I have experienced like traumatic experiences as a child, and then also I stress a lot, and I wanted to run from myself. So that is why I did drugs. I wanted to numb myself and just keep moving forward, but it didn't work because my body told me one day you need to stop. So
that's interesting. You said you wanted to run away from yourself, I think you said, and
yeah,
maybe some of the background you had.
Yeah, of course. Like, I mean, it was like running away from myself and at the same time like searching for myself, because like I remember when for like 1 week ago I was thinking about a moment that I had when I was smoking weed, and I look into the sky and I say, will I be able to live life without having substances?
Wow.
And like, will I be able to have a life like that? I don't know how it is to have a life without being high. And I had this flashback last week because I feel so good without having anything, you know, and I feel so free. So, but during that time, it was about running away from my traumas and things that I needed to heal.
Did you reach a point where you kind of had a moment that you knew you had to change?
Yeah, of course. When I went to the doctor and she said to me, you have a chronic disease and you need to take medication for the rest of your life. And in that moment, I say, no, I have to find a solution to this. And I found it.
So why do you think that your response to that was that you were going to find a solution, whereas many people would just go along with that?
I don't know how I felt it within me. Like I questioning that what I was doing by then, it was not working. You know, I was tired of taking medicine every time I got hives. You know, it wasn't the cure. It was just getting more and more all the time. And I will take medicine and then it will come back again. So I decided I have to do something. And I had something within my heart that said, this is not the answer. I went outside the hospital and I told my family, there is no way that I will take these pills. I will find the answer.
So it sounds like, tell me if I'm wrong, it sounds like you were following some kind of an intuition.
Yeah.
Does that sound right?
Yeah, I had that intuition. Like, that we can say that I made a question to the universe, and then the answer came to me, because as I had troubles with drinking, because I also I have an addictive background, so I had a lot of alcohol and I wanted to quit that too, but I found it difficult. I will have like 1 year without drinking, but then the year will pass and then I will drink everything that I didn't drink that year. So I did an ayahuasca plant medicine, and which I don't recommend to anybody because several reasons, but I did that. And the main question was like, how can I heal my body? How can I stop having this chronic disease? And during that night, it came to me, you need to go to this place. And I went to this place and I met a guy who was raw vegan. And this guy started sending videos to me about raw veganism. And then when I hear Dr. Morse, which was the first one that I listened to, he's saying in the video, you are fruitarian, you need to accept it. And that clicked into me like this. And I just went to my to my kitchen. I call my friend and I say, I have a lot of food if you want to come here and get them because I don't need them anymore.
Wow. So let's just backtrack there. So you did an ayahuasca experience. You asked what to do about this situation and you were guided to go to a particular place.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. What was that place?
During that time, I was doing a lot of yoga. I started because I started trying to find answer, like who am I and whatever. So I started practicing yoga and I applied for doing volunteer in a yogi society. So I went there and I asked them if I could volunteer and they said yes. So I went there to volunteer and then me and this guy, we clicked so well. He needed help to go to the bathroom and I took him to the bathroom. And then we talked just for a short moment, like 2 minutes. And when he finished his course, he texted me. He asked my number from somebody and he texted me. He said, I would like to go to have some fika in Swedish, which is to have a coffee. And we went for a coffee and he had very difficult to find a place because he was raw vegan. So he found a raw vegan place and we went there and while we were walking, he said to me, yeah, I'm raw vegan. And this is why I want to go to this place.
Wow, that's pretty fascinating. So that was your introduction into the raw vegan diet.
Yeah. It was, and also stopped drinking, like also during the ceremony it came to me, like stop drinking. And I never had a drop of alcohol in my life.
Wow. Wow. What was the next stage then? It seems like you were pretty quickly inspired to go raw vegan. Was it something you did very quickly? Did it take time? And it seems like you were watching videos and things. How did that all work?
Yeah, I quit my job because I applied for going to India to work in this ashram for 6 months. And while I was doing that, I started studying this diet by watching so many videos of Dr. Morse and I read his book. And I started doing the transition as he talks in his book. So I started quitting bread and like grains. I will do like millet flour things at the beginning, you know, because he talks about that millet is less harmful. So I will have that and I will have sweet potato. So I had a very short transition and one day I go into YouTube again to watch another video of him and John Rose appear as a recommendation. And I saw Ryan Rose for like 10 years ago from nowhere. He appears on my YouTube. I don't know. And I'm looking at this video and I'm like, who is this man? He doesn't even have a shirt. I can listen to him. I couldn't listen to his video anymore. But this time I clicked into his video and he started talking about solid food vacation and juicing and all those things. And I say, and he say, if you really want to stick to this diet, like it's better to do a juice feast for extend a period to then go back to having like to be, because I wanted to be 100% raw. I didn't want to keep eating, you know, grains and all those mm-hmm. things. And I say, okay, I will do this. So after 3 months of just eating 80% raw, which was having one cooked meal or two cooked meals per week, I did this juice feast for 4 months. And that was another experience too, because it brought me to another kind of lifestyle. Yeah.
Right. And I'd be interested to know, during this transition, what benefits or changes did you notice?
The first 3 months, I noticed directly the first week, like my mind, my awareness was completely different. I went to nature and I was like, wow, I can like finally, I don't know, like feel myself. I also started getting more flexible and less interest for going to the gym. I did a lot of powerlifting before, and it will be very like monotonous, like go to the gym, go home, taking protein powder and taking caffeine before working out and all those things. So I started becoming less interested in that and doing more like natural things within my body. And I also started feeling that I needed to spend more time alone. Like I didn't want so many distractions. So I started like feeling contentment within being just alone. So it was really quick.
Right. And why do you think it had that benefit?
I mean, I do believe that food we eat has an impact in our bodies and energetically form, which sometimes we cannot explain. But I have realized that by doing experiments like with things, and my body had more time to digest the food, which was meat and all those things, and that makes you be a little bit more like down and tired and like struggling more. But when you start eating fruit, your body doesn't need to spend much time. So then you have time to deal with your emotional struggles. So
So there was no emotional benefits. And you mentioned flexibility. What about the hives and things like that? Some of the physical stuff going on?
The hives, they decreased, but they were still there. Like I was struggling with them even after having this diet for 2 years. And also I understood that the hives were because of emotional things that I needed to deal with at the same time.
Were there any particular foods that triggered the hives?
Yeah, I could say that, like, sometime I will get hives of orange juice, or I will have hives from bananas, but I didn't stop eating them because, like, I needed to eat fruit, so I didn't stop. I didn't restrict myself, you know. But even though doing 4 more of juices, I still have them.
Right, interesting. So you were, to go fully raw, am I understanding you did the John Rose recommendation, you did a solid food vacation?
Yeah.
How did that go?
Yeah, it was nice. It was one of the greatest time because it was just juicing and drinking juice. And I did that with one of my best friends. But I realized how addictive I was to food, because I will, like, during that period, I will look photos of food that I used to get from my mother. And during that time, I think I went too much to the other extreme, which was like juicing. And then I discovered other books that will tap into like being more pure and clean and less is more. And we were Bretonian before, you know, because I think people that have addictions like I had and traumas, it can very easily go to this path, you know, of like going to the extreme of fasting, cleansing, dry fasting, you know. And so those 4 months were really good, but then I broke the fast and I needed to start eating again. And I ate very clean because I read books about food combining, and I read book about what is food and what is not food. And I went too much into the other extreme, like 36 hours water fasting for twice, three times per week instead, because I needed to be clean. It wasn't enough. So I started doing that instead of building a healthy relationship with food.
Right. Can you talk a little bit more about that? Like, what was appealing about that, or why did you follow that idea, and when did you realize it maybe wasn't quite right?
As I did these 4 months of cleansing, I started posted like stuff on Instagram, and I got a lot of followers. And then one day a guy approached me and said to me, "You're not fully clean. You need to stop. You need to keep cleaning. You have a lot of stuff within you." And imagine your mother eating cooked food and your ancestors, all of them. You need to clean your blood, you know. So he started to send me books. And then I started like watching videos about like eating less, you know. And so I say, okay, I'm still dealing with hives, even though I'm juicing. So I will do intermittent fasting every day, like Arnold Edit said, you do every day intermittent fasting 36 hours, and then you break the fast with orange juice, and I will start doing that instead. And that period emotionally was really hard because I isolate myself a lot. I spent a lot of time alone. I lost a lot of weight. I lost my period. I was very like judgmental towards people. Like, oh, they like, because, and I also started worrying so much about toxicity in the world, like the clean, the air is not pure, chemtrails, you know. I started like overreacting about things like too much. And it was really stressful. But at the same time, why can I take some benefit was the time that I spent alone, which was very nice. But then, being on Instagram, I started getting many friends that were in the same circle of like cleansing and being pure and all the things. And then one day I say, I have to take me out of this. Like, this is not helping me. And I need to get a job because now my money is running away and I want to get a job. So I say, well, the solution that I see here is that I delete my Instagram. So I delete it. And then I say, I have to build a relationship with food instead of like just fasting all this. I fasted like for more than 8 months, just 36 hours, 48 hours. And then I went. So I started eating again, and I took me back from Instagram. I didn't spend time there. And I started exercising again. A lot of biking and going to the gym again, and started eating more. But I was still like super hardcore about like 20 hours intermittent fasting. Mm-hmm. And for longevity, you need to eat 1,000 calories because otherwise you die. So, yeah.
Right. I'm really interested in that because it seems like a lot of people are interested in detox and fasting. And a lot of people sometimes seem to be caught up in that for a long time as well. And what do you think looking back on it now?
The background?
Looking back on that time.
You mean how can they come back from the...
No, sorry. What do you think about that approach? Yeah.
I think that approach many times in my case had another background, which was the feeling of feeling impure.
Okay.
Because I went through and sexual abuse, and
okay,
that was in my body.
Wow.
And that feeling made me want to achieve purity again.
Was it a sense that maybe it was almost like through the cleansing, through the diet, that you could cleanse spiritually, emotionally as well, or something like that.
Yeah, but also like just the feeling of feeling light.
Yes.
You know, and yeah. I don't need anything, and I can sustain myself, you know, and
right.
You know, and I don't need anybody.
I think that actually, I do think that there's some people that want to be breatharian and things like that. I personally don't believe anyone can be, but they want to be breatharian. And part of there is an appeal about the idea of I don't have to rely on anyone else. Like I don't even have to have food. Like there's something about like that that people seem to like in a interesting way.
Yeah, it is like that. And in my case, was because I couldn't trust anybody. You know, I couldn't. So I couldn't trust anybody. So, like, I don't want anybody. I don't want food. And I saw food I saw food as the toxin instead of nourishment. And my goal was to purify myself to know who am I.
Wow.
In order to like tap into my cleaning my blood and tap into my ancestors and like those things, you know.
Wow.
Without still dealing with my own things sometimes. Like working on what was important.
Yeah. And you mentioned the idea of spending a lot of time alone, and even you weren't working for a while. And that's something I've seen as well quite common when people are going down the road of detox and cleansing. They're eating less calories, their desire to go out and do things goes down. They end up spending more time alone. Can it be a bit of maybe a vicious cycle?
Yeah, it is. Of course it is. I woke up every day and I did 3-4 enemas. You don't have time to do something else. Like you are at home and you fast every day and then you do enemas and then you spend time alone. And you start like, passing mucus and, you know, and I'm cleaning myself. And like, but.
That is, it's so fascinating.
And also like, I will have an avocado and I will feel so guilty.
Right. You know?
Like, I will feel like, oh no, I'm having avocado now. I'm slowing down my detox. And like,
yeah.
Like, oh, I will eat pumpkin or sweet potato instead because that is not mucus forming and
right.
You know, like all those things. And oh, bananas are starchy. You know, I have to stop eating bananas.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, I've seen this. It's amazing.
Instead of tapping with my body and asking my body, yeah. Like,
thank you for being very open about this, by the way. I think this is really helpful for a lot of people.
Yeah. I just want to talk about this because I see that and I have experienced that within myself, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because when I met you, I wouldn't have thought of that because you were so active, fit, you know, fitness a big part of your lifestyle. So obviously you need to fuel that with a lot of calories, a lot of carbohydrates in your diet and stuff. But I'd be interested to know what was it that kind of made you move away from that approach and start to get back to activity and back to your life again?
Yeah, I needed to start work again. So I decided, okay, I need to find a job. And they called me from a job and say, you start working in 2 months. And then I say, okay, I have to start eating more and I have to function. And at the same time, I want to feel good because I couldn't even exercise. I was so tired at the time because of fasting. So I started doing this job and it was super hard because I went up again back to the office. And I was like surrounded by people drinking coffee, taking cigarettes and my work was in the computer and I had so much energy. But I decided, okay, I want to start gaining weight. And I I started just getting more because I wanted. But then after being 1 year, almost 1 year working, I started feeling alone too, because all my friends, they eat, they have a standard diet, and we didn't spend, I didn't spend much time with them. And I say, okay, I had this work, I went to Spain, and I met two other friends that are raw vegan there. And then after that, I came back home, and I decided to go to the UK Food Festival, and I went there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So this is interesting, because it seems like there was a challenge then with your social life.
Yeah.
And you were actually maybe, were you kind of staying away from your friends a little bit because they were still eating a standard diet, or it feels a little bit like you were alone a lot?
Yeah, I mean, me and my friends from the past, we had cannabis in common, so we would smoke weed and I'll go to parties. But then I had other friends which I spent time with them, but a lot of the things are like in Sweden, it's about going to the restaurant or going to, because it's really cold, so you cannot do so many things outside. So we will go to the restaurant and I will bring my own bananas and they will have the food they eat. But then still felt like I needed to spend time that eat this diet, and I want to be inspired by them.
Yeah. But prior to going to UK Food Fest, it appears to me you'd already learned more about the diet as well, because it wasn't like you'd come straight from a detox background. It seemed that you knew a lot about actually doing this life, this as a lifestyle, as a diet that supports an active life rather than as a short-term plan.
Yeah.
So had you moved on in your learning?
Yeah, of course I did. Of course. I think more, I did a lot of reading, but I watched so many videos, like so many raw food gurus, you know. And the one that I had the most difficult listen to was Doug. Like, I don't know why I had so much resistance to him, like watching this video. And one day I said,
"Do you talk about Dr. Douglas Graham?"
Yeah, yeah.
Author of the End Diet, just to be clear to the listeners.
Yeah, and I had so much resistance. I don't know why. And then one day I watched a video of Brandt being interviewed by Rob Liss. And it's the first time that I see Grant on YouTube, and I know who Grant is. And I'm like, wow, this guy is nice. Like, and he talks about Doug. And then I say, okay, I have to start watching him. And I start watching Doug, like, because like I started liking his video about exercise and about eating enough and about all the things he talk about, you know, about juicing and fiber.
Mm-hmm. And so you started to, did you start to implement more of an 8-10-10 style of a diet? Did you up in your calories and things like that?
Yeah, I mean, in opening up my calories, of course, but I still had like the base of fruit, and I was more into fruitarianism because I didn't eat much salads at all, and I was still like a little bit paranoid about avocados and nuts and seeds, so I will not eat them that much.
So you what was your decision to come to UK Fruit Fest? Was it the at what point were you at, and were you kind of looking for connection, and were you looking to meet the particular speakers? Was there any, what were some of the reasons you made that decision?
Connection, tribe, and also to meet people that have been doing this diet for years, and to experience like how it is to eat fruit with other people.
And how was the experience?
It was the best experience of my life. Yeah.
That's brilliant. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I have very beautiful experiences after that, but that particular one was amazing.
Yeah, I remember speaking to you maybe on the first night, and you were quite a little bit overwhelmed about being around some of the people you'd been watching, like Doug and Grant.
Yeah.
I'm not even sure if you knew Grant was going to be there. I'm not sure. But yeah, I remember you were quite happy to be there.
Yeah, because, you know, it's like I discovered this diet like by the friend, and then I started watching so many videos, and then you watch people that are like basically your rock stars, because
right.
You know, like they know that this is the answer to many things, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. they have been doing this for years, which is not easy, mm-hmm. especially with the food addictions we have. So
yeah.
I was like overwhelmed, because I was like, wow, you know, like, yeah.
And your life has changed since the UK Fruit Fest, I suppose it's fair to say.
Yeah, it changed because I met Grant and I felt in love with him. So we have been together since the UK Fruit Fest.
And you've been traveling and went different places and things like that. And what have you been doing? What have you been doing since then?
Yeah, we can start about a little bit. Like, we click very fast. I saw him the first time saying hello to me, and I was like, hello, this is Omaira, and I felt in love. Like, my body had a very strong attraction to him, and I tried to like avoid him because I didn't want to really love, but then it happened. So during the Fruit Festival, we spent a lot of time talking, and he needed to go up to the Dutch festival and to Dog's place, and I needed to go back to Sweden. So we spent 2 weeks afar from each other, and those weeks were super difficult.
Wow.
Because I meet him so much, and
wow, it's very quick then.
Yeah, yeah. Because during that week we talk about everything, so we knew almost everything about each other, and we were very honest. And then after that, he came to visit me in Sweden, and he was at my place for 1 week, and in 1 week, we decided that we didn't want to live far from each other again. So I didn't have so many possessions, because since I also having this lifestyle, I stopped consuming material things. And we decided to move to Mexico. So we moved to Mexico. We also share 2 passions that are dancing, Latin dancing, bachata and salsa, and free diving. So we went to Mexico, and from Mexico, we were there a long time, and then he turned 50. So we went to his country, Australia, to celebrate it with his family. And then after that, we came to Thailand for his retreat. So he ran his retreat. And we were there for 1 month, running the retreat, and another month for just living there.
Excellent.
And then after that, we came to Malaysia now. So we are in Malaysia now, working in a durian farm.
Wow. So what a big change then in a short period of time. Quite an adventure, going all over the world and stuff.
Yeah, but also being hard. I mean, I was so, like, alone for so many years, that and in a comfort zone, that it has been difficult to me to go a new place every time. It's like, oh no, we go to a new place now. And I tried sometimes to run away. Like, one of my biggest challenges has been running away, and like, I can't go there.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Could you give some, maybe, I don't know if you give some advice or tips for people that are looking for a relationship, or what's your experience with a relationship with another raw vegan?
Well, before being with Grant, I, as I spent a lot of time alone, I was single for almost 3 years. I didn't want to have anything with anybody, and that helped me to understand that my future partner needed to be 100% raw. I didn't want to be with a vegan or. So I say that to me, and also I wanted him to dance salsa. Otherwise, like, you know, so I had two requirements, like mostly. So, and the tips for me is just being flexible and also work on yourself before you go into a relationship. Like, I'm trying to avoid distractions and just like see what are things that you really want. But also, by being with him, we have been going through certain challenges because I was still a little bit super attached to the idea of intermittent fasting and like proper food combining, or like, so I wasn't that flexible with. And we had sometimes some arguments because of like silly things like food combining or eating past 6 o'clock, you know.
And have you changed your approach to that, or do you still
Yeah, of course. I have done that. And I think one of the things that helped me the most was like the Thai in Thailand by having the retreat. And also just like listening to my body more and to having boundaries with each other. Like sometimes he wants to eat one thing and I want to eat another thing. We usually share everything together, but I'm much, much flexible because also in Mexico I was still dealing with chronic hives. So I did an 11-day supervised hygienic fast, water fast. And finally, after having that approach instead of just doing cleansing all the time, just not focusing 11 days, supervised water fasting, sipping water, resting, closing my eyes, I finally heal my hives, and I haven't had them since then.
Wow, your hives have gone.
Yeah, finally.
Oh, wow. What is a typical day on a raw vegan diet? And maybe you can tell us the difference in Sweden, Mexico, Thailand.
Yeah, a typical day in Sweden was in the morning I will have a smoothie with orange and kiwis because some winters were really hard. So I will have that. And then after that, I will eat some cherimoyas and I will have bananas and maybe some lettuce. And that's it. That was my
Very simple.
approach. Then I was still attached to this intermittent fasting, so I will do that still. But then we went to Slovenia, and in Slovenia we had started eating more salads. I realized that I was, I don't know, maybe deficient in celery because I had so much celery like all the time. I would just eat the celery for breakfast, like dinner, lunch. So we will have figs, and then we will have a, no, we will start with watermelons, and then we will have figs, and then we will eat a salad at the night. Then we moved to Mexico, and in Mexico we had a lot of bananas for lunch because the bananas in Mexico are great. So we had that, and sometimes we will have mamey or we will have jackfruit, and for dinner a simple salad with hemp seed dressing or avocado. And then in Thailand, I had pineapple for breakfast, and then I will have mangosteens for lunch and durian. And for dinner, I will have mango, lettuce, and cucumber, or pak choy. So very simple.
What are some tips you would give for people that are starting off on this journey?
Don't fall for extremism. Like, check with yourself. Approach to the people that have been doing this diet for years and that they are honest. Not claiming I eat 1,000 calories and then they eat raw gourmet, you know. Like having, like, approach to those people and go to fruit festivals. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
I know that you're interested. You're quite a fitness enthusiast. And can you talk about that? Why is fitness so important to you in your lifestyle?
Because it makes me feel great. Mm. I think if we're in nature, we will walk and we will climb and we will swim. Our bodies are designed for movement. So to me, it's something that I really enjoy doing.
Great.
It doesn't matter what I love. During the retreat, I have classes in the morning and I will take people to be playful instead. So we will go to a local gym in Thailand and we will play with punching bags or the hula hula, or we will play with ropes, and very intense but very nice training. And then now, since being with Gran, I've been running more. Mm-hmm. I didn't like that before, but now I'm a little bit more into running. Not that much, because it's not something that I have passion for. But.
And I know that I've heard you talk about Goata before. Is that something that you still have an interest in? And what is that?
Yeah, Goata is the greatest of all time athletes. It's basically a study for how human beings move in nature. And this is based in the study of the greatest of all time athletes, babies, and indigenous people. So I used to do a lot of powerlifting and I injured myself. And then I needed to find an answer, and a good friend to me sent me information about Goata. So I started reading about it and started practicing. And since then, I've been doing that instead of just going to the gym and smash my body. So it's about also being back chain dominant instead of being front chain dominant, and also about having a more movement spine. A movement in your spine, moving into spiral like animals. So, and it's also based in the seeing how animals move in nature.
Excellent. Yeah.
So. It's really, I like it a lot, and I've been studying, and in the coming future, I will be a coach.
Great.
To go. Yeah.
So what do you see going forward? How do you see the next stage of your life, and maybe what goals do you have, and what are you looking to achieve next?
I love teaching fitness. Goata and exercise, but what I like the most, I think, is trying to inspire people that have addictive backgrounds to, and also because of traumas. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think my passion is to try to inspire them to change their lifestyle and to try to take them out those vicious cycle.
I see.
So I would love in the future just to try to, I've been working a lot with, because I needed somebody to help me. So Roger King has been my life coach, let's say, sometime. And he has been inspiring me a lot about the things that I would like to do in the future, which is to help people to go out an abuser or stop taking drugs.
Excellent, excellent. So are you available to be followed online, or do what can people work with you, or I don't know.
No, I don't have any. No, I just have my Instagram. I don't work with people. I think personally, before doing that, I need to have a solid foundation within myself. In the coming future, I will be teaching Gotha, hopefully. I'm started already in Grounds Retreat doing morning fitness, but I don't have any, just at the moment, any intention to do that until I have my solid foundation in where I feel comfortable doing that, especially with working with people that have gone through trauma and so on.
Well, thank you very much for joining us today, Omaira. Is there any final message you'd like to leave the audience with?
A final message could be try to see yourself, live life with honesty, be true to yourself, don't make compromise. Like if your friends wants to eat cooked food and take you to a restaurant, stay true to yourself and what makes you feel the best, move forward and to be honest.
Well, thank you very much. And there's probably so much to speak more about, but maybe we can do that another time.
Yes, thank you so much.
Thank you, everyone. You've been listening to Omaira Leone on today's Love Fruit podcast. And if you'd like to learn more about a raw vegan diet, you can go to fruitfest.co.uk. You can join the newsletter if you like, and you will be invited to our weekly Fruity Fridays live Zoom call. And also, you can learn more about the festival and other things that are going on. And we hope to see you there at some point. So thank you very much for watching and listening.
Thank you so much, Ray.
We'll see you next time for another episode of the Love Fruit Podcast. Thank you, everyone.